So welcome to 2021, right? Is that what it is? 2021? That's it? You're all that excited about 21? I got a, woo, not much. The people at home are cheering. They're standing on their sofas watching. So glad to see you guys here. I don't know if your New Year's Eve was kind of like ours, pretty low key. Anybody else have, anybody go out and party, do anything? I saw somebody was on the news. Matt and Wendy were on the news downtown dropping a bear. I didn't know. I don't know that we even did that. I didn't know we had a bear drop, so I missed it. But they were down there partying. I hope you had a good time. Hope you excited. Thursday night at our house is pretty low-key. Our girls had something here. Youth group had an event here at Two Rivers, and they were home by 9:15. We had some takeout from one of the local restaurants, thanks to some friends that brought that by. We're watching the NBC New Year's Eve programming, and I don't know if you noticed, but it seemed like most every sentiment that I saw, whether on social media or meme or on TV or the news or whatever, just about everything that I saw the last couple weeks is kind of this idea. Let's get out of 2020 and into 21 as fast as possible, right? Like we're ready to leave that behind us because 21's got to be better than 20, right? And matter of fact, the New Year's Eve program we were watching on NBC was called New Year's Eve Escape from 2020, right? Like, we're just really ready to get out of 2020. There was a program, I didn't watch this one on Netflix, called Death to 2020. And so the idea, I think we can all agree that we're ready to turn the page on 2020, kind of put all of these headlines behind us and move on to a new day, a new year, a new outlook. And so I went to bed. My routine in the last 10 years has been to really, really party really hard until about 9:30, then I go to bed, right? That's kind of what I do. I don't make it to midnight, and there's really not a lot of partying going on, actually. We just hang out, but when I went to bed, I sort of had this expectation that, okay, tomorrow is a new day, it's a new year, it's going to be, I'm excited on January 1 to start this new chapter, but here's what I found when I woke up. It felt exactly the same. Right? Anybody else? Like, the news is still talking about coronavirus and deaths. The vaccine is slow to get out and get pushed to the public. The Congress is still fighting over a stimulus package. There are lots of people out of work. Small businesses are closing. I was hoping, like, the heavens would open, the sun would shine, maybe a few rainbows and unicorns. You know, I mean, a guy can hope, right? Instead, guess what? It was gloomy. A day filled with gloomy news. As a matter of fact, it's rained every day in 2021, right? Every day so far. I know it's only been 3 days, but every day it has rained in 21. Maybe God knows we just, kind of like the flood, we need a cleanse right after 2020. So I have to admit, I was hoping that 21 would feel a little different. And I don't think I'm the only one who feels this way. Each year since 2001, a polling organization called Gallup, you've heard of Gallup, has asked Americans as a part of its November health and healthcare survey to say whether their own mental or emotional well-being is excellent, good, fair, or poor. So there's four choices on this poll. They're asking people to chime in, to give their answer to, is your health, emotional well-being, is your mental health, is it excellent, is it fair, is it good, is it fair or poor? And the readings for most Americans through the years has typically been pretty high. The reading most years has been between 81 to 89% say that their emotional or mental health, state of mental health is between 81% and 89, either good or excellent. Until this year, it dropped to 76%. Now, that's not a real low number, but it's the lowest in the 19 years Gallup has been asking this question. So more than 8 months in November into the coronavirus pandemic in the U.S., an American reports mental health are much worse than a year ago. In other words, 2020 is kind of taking its toll on us, hasn't it? So I'm ready to put that in the rear view. But what if 2021 isn't much better? Right? For the next few weeks, I'm not going to dwell on 2020. This is really the intro to this series, and I'm not going to talk about how bad things were. That's not my personality. I don't love to dwell on the past. But what I am going to do is give us some practical ways to make this year, or any year, in spite of circumstances, in spite of news cycles, in spite of the stock markets, or even a pandemic, what I want to do is give us some practical ways to make this the best year ever. Who's in? Okay. I got a couple whoops, all right? Again, people at home are standing on the couch and cheering, right? You guys are a little lame here in person. So 12 or 13 years ago, when we were dreaming of the idea of starting a church here in New Bern, I wrote down some of what I hope that this church would become. It's called kind of a dream statement or a vision statement. And I'm going to be honest, I think that this statement, which has sort of stood that test for me as to what we're dreaming and hoping to be, it still resonates with me, and I hope it will resonate with you still today. This is who we want to be as a church, to be a place of hope and transformation for everyone while making a difference in our community, our region, and our world. So this morning, kind of pulled from that vision statement that we dreamed about years ago, I want to pull out three things that I think we can do and become to make this the best year ever. This is going to pandemic-proof your year, okay? If you'll do these things, if you will become these three things. The first thing I see that we need to do is be purveyors of hope. So you might know what a purveyor is. A purveyor is a person who sells or deals in a particular thing or goods. Have you noticed that everybody is selling something these days? If they're not outright a salesperson, they got a side hustle where they're selling something, right? Everywhere you look, there's someone trying to sell you something. You turn on the TV and there's commercials. You open up a magazine, there's ads. I just think we should get in the game. If everyone's going to be selling something, then we've got something that everybody needs. And probably now more than ever, people need hope. You agree with that? Okay, I'm going to make y'all get excited here today, okay? If you agree, you just say you agree or amen or something like that. And I'll just keep talking faster. Matter of fact, we'll get done faster if you just kind of participate a little bit, right? So we've got something. Let's try it again. We've got something that I think this world needs. It's hope. Thank you. You're not going to hear about it on the news, right? You're not going to hear about it on Netflix or one of the other plus channels. Why is everything a plus all of a sudden? Have you noticed that? Like, do I just watch too much TV? It's like, we got ESPN Plus, we got Discovery Plus, we've got, I think it's Disney Plus, we got HBO Max. So, I don't know, that's the same thing as plus, right? I don't know why everything's plus. But anyway, you're not going to hear it on any of those outlets or on social media. We have something that the world needs, and it's hope in Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19, first part of 19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. See, we as Christians have this hope, and it's not something that everyone knows about. Matter of fact, hope in Christ has been put on the back burner in our culture, hasn't it? Right, it's something that we're not talking about. It used to be kind of the primary thing that we look forward to. Our world, 100 years ago, our world kind of revolved around the church getting together. That's where all of culture kind of stemmed from. Well, now we've been back burner. But the Hebrew writer says that we have a hope, and it's an anchor for the soul. And we as Christians need to lean in on that and remember that God is and has provided a hope. And it's a hope that goes all the way back to Abraham. I want to read more of this passage from Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 13. The Hebrew writer says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by something or someone greater than themselves, and an oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The Hebrew writer says that what God promised to Abraham on an oath. Did you catch that? There's like this discussion between the Hebrew writer and us or those who are going to receive this letter. And the Hebrew writer is saying God couldn't swear by or make an oath on anything because there was nothing greater than God. So he made the oath on himself that there is this hope. And to Abraham, it was the hope that this man in his old age with an older barren wife would have a son, and that son would become the son of promise, and from his offspring, the whole world would be blessed. And we know that that came true through Isaac, that son of promise, who then birthed an entire nation that we call Israel. And through Israel came Jesus. And through that, we have a hope. We have this hope in Christ, and it is that hope that the Hebrew writer is talking about that came through Abraham. It is that hope in Jesus that we have that is the anchor for our soul. If we ever needed something to anchor us, it's now. Right? And it's not just us, it's everyone. It's the people that you know. It's the people in your neighborhoods, people in your family. We all need this hope. Years ago, I took a group of middle school students to a youth conference in Kentucky at Kentucky Christian University, and we stayed on the campus, which is in Grayson, Kentucky. Now, there's not a lot going on in this small town of Grayson. It's really not much more than one exit on, I think it's on route on Highway 64 going through Kentucky. And so these kids were from Virginia Beach, which is near the coast, obviously. And when I took students out of town like that for a conference, I always like to do something on an off day that they couldn't do in Virginia Beach where they were from. Like some of the youth groups would go to the mall. Well, there's tons of malls in, well, there wasn't a mall in Grayson, Kentucky. It's too small, but you know what I mean? We could go do certain things in Virginia Beach. So we looked around and we found that in Grayson, this small town in Northeast Kentucky, there is a lake. It's called Grayson Lake. And we decided to rent a pontoon boat and take the kids out on this lake. There were some spots where you could climb up on some rocks and you could jump off into the lake. Not quite cliff diving, but for us flatlanders from the coast, East Coast, some of those spots were pretty high. And so we were going to do that. So we got in the boat and drove out into the lake. And some of the kids had never been in a boat, so I let them drive the boat. We're all singing Gilligan's Island theme, you know. And we're having a great time. These kids were having a blast, these junior high students. And some of the kids would just jump in. We kind of parked the boat or just stopped the boat. And the kids would jump in the water. And we jumped off some of those rocks and into the water. And there was one girl who, when we left the campus, said she didn't want to go swimming. But once she got there and saw everybody else having all this fun, she wanted to jump out of the boat. She wanted to swim. The problem was she didn't bring her swimsuit. She didn't, like, put it on and then put her clothes. She just had jeans and a shirt, or I don't think it was even a T-shirt. I think she had, like, a button-down shirt on. And so I talked to the other youth leader that was with me, one of our ladies from church, and I said, "Is it okay?" And she's like, "Yeah." So she jumped in, jeans and all, like, just jumped in, and she was having a great time. Until she wasn't. And here's what happened. She started to swim back to the boat, but we didn't realize that there was a little bit of a breeze, and as hard as she swam towards the boat was drifting away from her, right? Like the wind was kind of blowing it. And after a while of trying, have you ever tried to swim in jeans and like a button-down shirt? It's like, it's very heavy. Like, it's not easy. And so she was starting to get tired, and she was never like going on. It wasn't like one of those scenes from Titanic. You know, it wasn't anything like that, but she was just getting tired. I could kind of look, see in her eyes she was getting frustrated. And I said to the other youth leader, I said, "If you'll drive the boat to the other side, I'll jump in, make sure she doesn't go under, and let the boat drift to her." That made it a lot easier for her to get to the boat. But there was a few seconds where she began to panic until we kind of worked out that plan. See, she was swimming towards a boat that was not anchored. And it was drifting away from her. And I think that's what so many people are doing these days. Like, we're swimming as hard as we can towards something that's never going to get any closer to us. It's never going to fulfill us. It's never going to give us a secure place to land in our lives. They're trying to catch up with something that has no anchor and it's a moving target. But we have this hope. And Hebrews says it's the anchor of our souls. See that same Gallup poll that I talked about earlier, also suggests that the one group that had an increase in their excellence in mental health was those who attended church regularly. Look at this. It wasn't males. Their mental health kind of went down. It wasn't the female population. Their mental health went down. It wasn't Republicans or Democrats, though I will say this, Democrats did better than most on this list because I think they won this year. But it was those who attended a religious service, not weekly or monthly, nearly weekly or monthly, not seldom or never, but weekly. Guess what? Their mental health went up. Why? Because there's hope here. Right? There's something different here. This isn't a Christian thing. This is a completely secular polling agency. They're not trying to fluff the numbers. They're just asking people what they think. People who go to church, guess what? Their mental health is better. And it's because we have a hope. It's the anchor of our souls. We all need that. I want us as a church I want you to tell me if you're in or out right now, this year in 2021, I want you to be a purveyor of hope. All right, let's stop building up what's going on wrong. Let's tell people about the hope that we have in Jesus. Let's stop putting all our faith in the news, in the media, in social media. Let's put all of our hope, all of our eggs in the basket of Jesus, because that is a secure and anchored place for us to tie up. Second thing I want us to do this year, I want us to be agents of transformation. See, if this year is going to be the best year ever, no matter what's happening, then we have to be change agents. And I get the sense that people want something different. Right? That they're tired of the same old stuff. They want to go deeper. We're tired of just staying on the surface, right? We want something meaningful and deep. The Bible describes what this change looks like. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. Listen to this. Lean in. If you have your Bible, we can turn to that or your Bible app, but really listen to what Paul's saying here to the church in Rome. He says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Right, there's some really good stuff here, right? Don't we act differently when we're out walking in darkness? And by that, I mean doing the things that Paul talks about, right? Carousing and in drunkenness and sexual immorality. Aren't we different? Don't we like that, to do that kind of when it's in darkness, in the cloak of darkness? God wants to turn on the light. He wants you to put on armor of light so that you're exposed. When I was a kid, I used to go to my grandparents, love to go. I grew up in southern Delaware, and my grandparents lived here in eastern North Carolina on a farm not too far from Pantego. Anybody ever been to Pantego? Come on, nobody's been to Pantego. All right, maybe you have. A few people have been to Pantego. And it was very different. I grew up in a small town, but I live right on the main Central Avenue. Literally, I grew up on Central Avenue in my hometown in Laurel, Delaware. And so going to my grandparents on the farm here in East North Carolina was it was fun. We had free reign. My cousin lived up the road, and we would just spend morning till night, right, when it got dark, and they made us come in, just out on the farm, a lot of fun, dirty, you know, just getting into all kinds of stuff. And I remember one year, typically around Thanksgiving, my granddaddy would, and I apologize if anybody is a card-carrying member of PETA, but I'm just going to tell you the truth about where stuff comes from. My grandfather would butcher a cow. He raised cows, and part of his gift to our family, not just my family, but also my aunt and her family and my uncle and his family, we would get enough beef to last us through the whole winter and around to the next year. And so we always had beef in our freezer. And so to kind of make a gross story grosser, somebody, I think it was either my granddaddy or one of my uncles, got a hold of one of the cow's eyeballs. Now, I apologize for bringing this up in church, but this is a good reason I'm telling this. He got one of those cow eyeballs, and if I'm candid with those of you in here, it's cow eyeballs are kind of big, like a cue ball. I mean, it's like this big, right? And so what do two preteen boys do with that? We chase our sisters. I mean, it's just what you do. It's innate. We chase them all over the farm. We're throwing that thing. It's gross. I mean, it's the most icky thing you could think of. And we had laughed, and we had a big time. We had that stuff all over us, and our sisters screamed and ran, and we just had a great time until we got hungry, and it was time for supper. And guess who met us at the back door? My grandmama. And she assured me that we were not going to come in her house with that nasty stuff on our hands. So we tried to come in. My grandmother had a porch there that you walked through to get to the main living space in their house, which was the kitchen first. And I think a lot of homes were set up that way. It was probably a porch that they enclosed, and they put a sink in there. She wouldn't even let us come in the porch to wash up on the porch. We had to go out to the pump house, and I remember her throwing us a bar of soap, like, don't even come in here until you get cleaned up. And to be honest, I was kind of tired of being in a mess at that point. Paul says that we should clothe ourselves with Christ, put aside the deeds of darkness. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27 says it this way. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. I mean, there is a time in every one of our lives. And I'm going to be truthful. I think in everyone, even those who are not here and not even those who are believers, there is a time in each person's life, every human being, where they come to this realization, I'm tired of this direction. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of living in darkness. I'm tired of being filthy. And I'm not talking about literal. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm ready to get cleaned up. And I'm just wondering if we could be agents of transformation and say, hey, I know just the thing. I know just what you need. When the Apostle Paul came to Christ, a Christian named Ananias went to him. And as they're talking about him becoming a Christian, he says these great words to him. He says, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Like, there's a time when we just, everyone just wants to get washed up. Everyone wants to get clean. And I think we as the church should be ready. We should be agents of that change. We should be agents of transformation to help people find and know Christ. Listen to this passage. I want you to just kind of let this lay on you this morning. I want you to think about what this means, and I want you to put yourself in this passage. Because each one of us, our lives in some way, somehow, were this passage. Titus chapter 3 says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us, hear this, through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. See, there is a change. We're not who we once were. We're different. Why? Because of stuff we've done? Absolutely not. It's because of what Jesus has already done for us. See, there is a place in everyone's life where we come to this realization. The question is, are we going to be there to hand somebody the soap, spiritually speaking? Are we going to point them in the right direction so that they can get cleaned up, so that they can change their clothes and put on Christ? There's a time when we all want that. And the question, church, is, are we going to be agents of that transformation in people? Think about how this year could make a dynamic change for someone that you know. From what they once were to now washed and clothed in Christ. I don't usually talk about this, but every year I kind of set a goal of how many people I think we might be able to help along that path and see transformation in their lives. And I know all of that's up to God, but it just sort of helps me keep my focus. And to be honest, last year we were on track to see 26 people all the way through April, all the way through March before we got into this pandemic. About every other week someone came to Christ and we had a part of helping them get baptized into Christ. And so this year, I'm just going to share it with you. And here's why. You're going to be the agents of transformation. I don't know 26. I think that's 26 people. That would be kind of cool. How about if God made up for last year and we had more like 45 or 50 or people who just came and said, hey, I want Jesus first in my life in 2021. What if we were agents, right? What if we were God's messengers? What if we just love people to the point and said, hey, I want to help you find your way to something different. It's changed my life. And it's nothing I've done. It's what God has done for me. Wouldn't that make it the best year ever? So I'm going to share that with you in faith, and maybe you can help us, because I don't know that many people. I know a lot of church people. Y'all need something. You need prayer, but you don't necessarily need Jesus. You know, like, you know people who don't know Christ. So let's help them find their way. Finally, I think we should all strive to be difference makers. What can each one of us do to make a difference in this world for someone else and lead them to Christ? I have to be honest, the last couple of years we've gotten away from some of the service that we've done as a history of our church, as part of who we are. We've always wanted to make a difference in our community, region, and world. A couple years ago, we had a hurricane, Florence. You guys remember that? It's terrible. We did a lot of work for a few months, and then we all went back to work, and we kind of got out of the habit because we had worked so hard at the end of 18 into early 19. And to be honest, I just kind of missed it. I thought we were going to be doing a lot of hurricane work throughout 19, so we canceled some of the things that we had planned for 19. And what happened is everybody had taken so much time off of work in late 18 that we all went back to work, and our kids went back to school. And the people doing the work in New Bern, we hosted a lot of people, but they were people from outside. You know what I mean? And so we kind of got away from doing some of the things that we usually do. And don't get me wrong, we've done some really good things in the last couple of years, but we got away from doing some things. And then obviously, so that was in 19 and 20, we had the pandemic, and that kept us from doing some things that we had planned. So I just think that we want to get back into the routine of serving and loving and making a difference with people. It starts right here at church, serving around here. You know, our serving numbers are way down. I get it. I understand people are not, their routine's messed up. And we've gotten out of the routine of doing some of the things that we have done to make a difference in our community and our region and our world. We've got some things planned for this year, some that we can do whether we're together or not. You know, things like in February we're gonna introduce something called PB&J 1K or PB&J 1000. We're gonna ask you and the community to be drop off points for, and you bring in 1,000 jars of peanut butter and 1,000 jars of jelly. Right? Like, who doesn't love peanut butter and jelly? And we're just going to send all that over to RCS because actually peanut butter is a great meal, and jelly on top of that is great for those who are have food insecurities. And I've talked to the director at RCS, and he's like, yes, bring it. We can use every bit of it. So we're gonna fill their pantry over at RCS with 1,000 jars of peanut butter and 1,000 jars of jelly. Who's with me? Okay, all right. Y'all are getting better. You're getting better. I hope the people at home were on the couch that time. I hope they were. So we're going to do that. We're going to do some things we're looking into. We hope that we're going to be able to build, frame another house. We did Help Build Hope a couple times here. We're hoping to do that as things roll out. We got some other things planned. But we can't do it without you. It's because of you and because of what you're doing. Let me frame it for you this way. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this, starting in verse 7. Peter writes, the end of all things is near. Now, how many think that may be true at this time, in this place, right? If you do, listen to this. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as someone who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God might be praised. Through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. See, I think that the worst thing that has happened in 2020 is that we've become even more self-centered, right? I understand how we got there. Like, we hear all of these things that are happening. We're concerned about our own health. We're concerned about the health of our families, right? And we get a little bit short-sighted. We've been isolated. We're required to hide behind masks and not shake people's hands, not hug people and look people in the eye. And the net result of this isolation is we become very inwardly focused. 2021 is the year that we break out of that. Right? We're going to pick our heads up. We're going to look around. We're going to see needs that need to be met. And we're going to go love and serve others. Did you hear what Paul said or Peter said here? Above all, love each other deeply. Well, how do we do that? Well, use your gifts, whatever you've received, to serve others, not to serve yourself, but to serve others. If you speak, you have the authority, right, to speak with the strength, with the very words of God. And then if you serve with the strength that God provides so that we get built up. So the church looks good? No. That God would be praised. That all honor, all glory, that in all things God may be praised. So 2021 is that year. We're going to move forward. So let's make this the best year ever. no matter what's going on around us, let's not be reactive to what the news or what the climate is or what's going on as far as things in the world. Let's not be ignorant, but let's not be reactive to those things. Let's be proactive about who God wants us to be. Let's be purveyors of hope, right? Let's tell people and be agents of transformation. Let's be difference makers in this world. That's how this year is going to be the best year ever. Maybe you're here today and you're the one that needs the change. I hope and pray that you'll make that change today. Maybe you've just been waiting for somebody to say, hey, today's the day. God's working in this place, in this moment in your life. Maybe God has been kind of nudging you through the scriptures, right, that we've been talking about. Maybe he's ready to show you how to be transformed into the image of Christ, right? Out with the old, darkness, spiritual death, in with the new, armor of light, washed, putting on Christ, clothed in Christ. It's really simple. People who came to the realization that Christ is who he is and who he said he was, repented of their sins. They turned from the darkness to God's wonderful light, started living and working towards that, and they were immediately baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That's what we're all about. Maybe you could be the first of 2021 to get us rolling. I'd love to help you with that. Let me just be very clear. During this time, we're going to sing and have communion together, and we're going to sing a song. I'm going to be in the back. After service, I'm going to be in the back. I'm going to be hanging around. Come get me. I want to talk to you about that. I want to help you make that decision to follow Christ today. Greg's going to come lead us into a time of communion. And as he comes, will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for today. We're excited about 2021, a new year, a new opportunity to turn the page and to look forward, to look up and see others who might need hope and transformation. Lord, help us to be difference makers in this world. Lord, we just simply want to be purveyors of hope to a world that's hurting, to a world that needs transformation, to be made into your likeness, to put aside those things where we've come from, to live for you. So Lord, help us to take this challenge today to be difference makers, to love and serve those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.